Turn again tonight to the 6th chapter of Mark's Gospel. I think back up to verse 42 to sort of remind us of where we've come from, where we were this morning even. Chapter 6, beginning at verse 42. They all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fish. And those that had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. And when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them straining at roaring, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. And when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored near the shore. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Well, the 5,000 had been fed, satisfied, had all they wanted to eat. The remains had been gathered up, 12 baskets full, gathered up that nothing be wasted. And as I said with the children this morning, there's a message in this to me. It's obvious that Jesus had unlimited power to produce bread and fish. 5,000 had eaten, been filled, and yet abundance was no excuse for wastefulness. 12 baskets full. Don't know what they did with it. Maybe everybody got a parcel to take home with them, a to-go box. Whatever. Just because there was plenty, there was no excuse for wastefulness. And that's not what I really want to talk about tonight, but it concerns me when we have so much sometimes that we are so wasteful when there's so many that are in such great need. But let's go beyond that, beyond this event of the feeding of the 5,000. What's to come next? Well, first Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and leave for Bethsaida. Then he sent the crowd away. He sent the disciples off first, and then he sent the crowd away. It's been suggested the reason he did this can be found in John's Gospel, where John reports that after the feeding of the 5,000, there was a move by the people to take Jesus, even against his will, and make him their king. And this he did not want, so he first made the disciples leave, and then he sent the crowd away. And again, what is next? Well, Jesus goes into the mountain. He goes alone. He goes to pray. He was surely exhausted. We might have thought that he would have taken a few days off from work. At the very least, he would go to a home of a friend and get a good night's rest. However, we find him going up to the mountain to be alone and to pray. As I read this and thought about it, the passage from Isaiah 40:31 came to my mind, where Isaiah said, "Even the youth shall faint and grow weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Jesus knew that his strength was to be found in prayer with the Father. And while his disciples board the boat and row for the other shore, and the crowds make their way back to their homes, Jesus goes in the mountain to spend the night alone in prayer with the Father. It seems to me that too oftentimes we forget where our real source of strength is to be found. We think we can make it on our own, or we can make it with the help of friends. But surely for us, as for Jesus, there are times when we need to be alone with the Father. Take time to spend with God, to speak with Him and to listen to Him as He speaks to us. There's an old gospel song from my childhood days. There are days I like to be with the sanctified and blessed. There are days I like to be all alone. There are days I like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him of my troubles all alone. Oh, we need to meet to worship and draw strength from one another. And surely we need a few close Christian friends that we can come to and pour out our hearts. It's a highlight of the week for me to come here. Here I feel at home. Here I feel with family and with loved ones. But there are times for all of us when we need to be alone with our Lord and spend time waiting before God in prayer, pouring out our hearts and listening to what God has for us. So Jesus, as the shadows of the evening began to fall, made His way alone up into the mountain. And there He waited before God. I think He waited as a parched ground waits for a rain to fall. He waited for the love, light, and renewing of the Father. He waited until 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you realize He waited about 9 hours in prayer? I know what I would have been doing if I'd had the day that He'd had and was exhausted and tired as He was. I'd have started praying in about 2 minutes. I'd have been asleep. But Jesus waited 9 hours. He was hardly aware, it seems, of the moon rising over the lake or the stars beaming down. But in the fourth watch of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, He became aware of His disciples and of their difficulty. What now? Jesus had His problems. There was the hostility of the religious leaders. There was the suspicion of Herod Antipas and the political hotheads who would make Him king against His will. The disciples out on the lake were experienced fishermen. They knew what it was all about. They could take care of themselves. They'd be all right. Jesus had His own problems to deal with. I suspect this may have been my response. It's their problem. Let them handle it. But being aware of their difficulty, Jesus set aside His own problems. For the time for prayer was past, and the time for action has come. He goes from the presence of the Father to meet the needs of the disciples. Now, as Michael said this morning, the disciples were already exhausted. They'd been out on a preaching mission for a week or so, and they'd been busy all that day, and they had taken the broken bread and loaves and fish and fed the 5,000. You can be sure they gathered up the pieces. You know, they themselves were exhausted. And different translations said they were toiling in rowing, or distressed in rowing, or beset as they rowed, for the wind was against them. They had been rowing now for some 9 hours and not been able to make it across the 4 miles of the lake. For 9 hours they'd been rowing, but the wind was so against them they'd gone less than 4 miles. Surely exhausted and fearful by now, perhaps even fearful for their own lives, they surely felt alone. And here's what I want us to learn tonight. Jesus watches over us. They thought no one cared. Surely Jesus was not aware of what was going on, they thought. No one, they thought, was aware of their need. They were just out there fighting the waves and the wind and the sea. No one was going to help them. But the good news was that Jesus was watching over them. Jesus was watching them. And He comes to them. He comes right down to where they are, right to the point of their need. He comes in the midst of the storm and He gets in the boat with them. Right in the midst of the storm, He comes to them and He helps them. First, He spoke a word of assurance to fearful hearts. He says, "Take heart. It is I. Have no fear." And then He calmed the seas, for the wind ceased. And even more, He brought calm to their spirits. And He brought them to a safe harbor. They came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. Jesus watches. Jesus comes. Jesus helps. What confidence this gives us in the midst of our storms. All of us, soon or late, will have storms in our lives. All of us will see our efforts frustrated. All of us will have those times when it seems the more we do, the harder we try, the worse things get. The storm rages and fears rise. And there seems no way out. What a blessing in the midst of the storm to know that Jesus is aware of our situation. You are not alone. I'm not alone. Jesus knows our every need. And Jesus will come. He'll come right alongside us wherever we are. He will not leave us comfortless. He will come to us, and Jesus will help us. For every day of the year, there's a "fear not, be not afraid, or let not your heart be troubled" in the scripture. Listen, He whispers, sweet peace to each of us. Fear not, be not afraid. Peace, peace be unto you. And He will speak to the storms in our lives. Peace, be still. And when there's absolutely no way for us to escape and us to make it, He will make a way and He will bring us to a safe harbor. I don't know how you live without that kind of confidence. That Jesus cares, that He comes, and that He will help us. How He will do it, I don't know. But it's a simple fact of life, a fact that has been proven by countless thousands of people in every generation, that when Jesus comes, the storm becomes a calm, and the tumult becomes a peace, and the undoable becomes doable, and the unbearable becomes bearable, and people who have passed the breaking point don't break when Jesus comes. How He does this in millions of lives is not really important. That He does it is tremendous. When will He do this? Well, in God's good time. Of course, we want it now. Or if not now, yesterday. We all have our problems and we want solutions immediately. But He does His work in His own way, in His own time. But He comes to meet our need just when we need it. He's never too early, never too late. One other question. Why will Jesus come to us, assure us, calm us, help us? Why does He do it? The only reason I know is because He loves us. So many wonderful things in this world. But as the song has it, the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. And in His love, Jesus comes to us in the midst of our storm, comes to us right where we are, and gets in the old rocking, sinking boat and calms the sea and brings us to a safe harbor. Let us learn from Jesus. Wait in prayer. Realize that your ultimate source is not in God, and that your ultimate source is in God, not in yourself, not in your other resources. Your ultimate source is in God. Wait for God. And trust Him to come to you and to calm your storms and help you to a safe harbor. But then also remember, Jesus says, the Father sent me, even so send I you. We're not just to receive from His bounty. We are to bear His love, His grace, His mercy to others. Let Him use you, use me to help others. Amen. Lord Jesus, we do thank You that You care for us, that You watch over us, that when the storms of life come pounding upon us and we reach the end of our strength and we are fearful for life itself, when we cannot help ourselves, You come to us and You speak peace and You calm the storm. And You provide just what we need, just when we need it. Oh God, we thank You. Help us not just to be receivers, but also bearers of Your love and mercy and grace to others. And it's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.